Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, welcome back to Citanium Mine. I hope everyone's doing just fine out there. I certainly am. I mean, I'm just listening to the slow drip of water from that one stalactite. Just keeps drip, drip, drip. All day long. Never ending. Oh, right. So on today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about Yakuza Kiwami 2. The last episode I did was on Kiwami, and so it's going to be interesting to compare and contrast. I can, however, tell you right out of the gate that Kiwami 2 is better. Yes, that's right. I'm going to say it right up at the front. Kiwami 2 is better. The combat is a lot more satisfying. The content is immensely more sizable in the amount of stuff that you do. And the storyline continues to be very engaging. But let's start with the big one, which is about the combat. So in the original, there is a system in place that allows you to switch between four different styles. So Dragon is supposed to be essentially our protagonist's character, Kiryu Kazuma. His distinct style. And then there's also a brawler and a beast style and the rush style. So you've got like a fast, you've got a balance style, and you've got a brute force one so that you can pick up motorcycles, essentially, and chuck them at people. And then you have Dragon, which is supposed to be like this very specific style. Now, in Kiwami 2, so we're now talking about the remake, essentially, of the second game, They ditch that, and some people may be a little bit upset about that, because it was kind of neat being able to switch between different styles. Me personally, though, I find it to be a lot better, because I don't have to think about switching between those styles. I can actually just take different kinds of perks and skills that allow me to edge on the side of any one of those, and I don't have to go through that. It also makes it a little bit easier to do combat. It's much more fluid, actually, this time around. It feels a lot more, fast in terms of being able to handle multiple opponents. Of course, you still have the ability to do stuff like, you know, chuck bikes at people and stuff like that. So that's all good and fun. And it's a good thing that the combat is so satisfying, because there is quite a lot of it. One of the things that does return, and seems to be a hallmark of the series, is that you just get into these random fights on the street. And luckily, by having a fluid system where the average, you know, criminal on the street isn't going to be very difficult to take down. In fact, it usually takes more time to actually set up the combat than the actual combat ended up taking, especially because you can just go and pick up the bike and smack it into multiple opponents at one time. But in general, it is just a better experience overall. I did find myself trying to avoid a lot of those encounters, though, just because they took away from trying to get to different mission objectives, and the rewards for doing so are not that great. One of the other things that they started to implement much better in Kiwami 2 was the idea of eating. You see, you actually have a stomach meter in this game that you can upgrade over the course of the game, but as your meter drops, you have the ability to go and eat, and you get a bunch of different kinds of experience points by doing that eating, and you might even get bonus experience if you eat the right combination of food at different restaurants. And this is a really interesting way to engage people in trying to go to different restaurants in the game and try a lot of different things. And if you try everything on the menu, you also got bonus experience. Oh, that's actually something that I should mention, which is the experience system. So in the first game, there was a system where basically every time you hit like 1,000 experience, you would get a point, and your point would then be utilized in different spheres of ability. In this one, they tried to make that a little bit less centralized. You actually get different kinds of experience, four different kinds of experience, actually, and they lend themselves to amounts that you can put into different skills. So, for instance, there's one that's more about strength. And so there are certain things that might want more evaluation in the strength skill or in your endurance skill. And different things that you do actually give you those points. There are going to be a lot of times where you're going to be wanting to upgrade your health, for instance. And so, you know, you might need endurance for that. And you get those over the course of time, not just from doing activities or getting into battle or even eating, but for completing quests and stuff like that. And this actually works pretty well. You have a bunch of different things that you can unlock over the course of time, including some heat skills, some special technical moves, and of course just straight up upgrades to your health, to your heat meter, to your defense. And so in a lot of ways it's organized in the same way as the first game, but it feels a little bit more tactile in how you're accumulating those different kinds of experience, and that maybe I'm a little light on one and I'm heavier on another, so maybe I can invest points over here right now instead of over here. It's an interesting system. I kind of liked it, actually, even though it makes the experience system a lot more complex. But then we should talk about the actual storyline and the other activities that you do in the course of the game. So the main storyline of Kiwami 2 is basically that it's a year after the events of the first game. Kiryu is trying to kind of put his life back together after the events of the first game that saw a lot of people that he liked or cared about very much die. And so he and Herika, his surrogate daughter at this point, start by going to these graves and find out that, you know, there's this call for him to come back and help with maintaining a peace between the Tojo clan, which he belongs to, and the Omi Alliance, which seems to be an ever-encroaching threat for them. And this leads you down the basic kind of crime drama thing that you're probably used to if you've played any other Yakuza games. But it's done very well. And the general conflict that they have between him and another guy who is another kind of dragon, and the idea that there can really only be one, even though you feel like there might be some kind of reconciliation across this entire storyline, is a constant source of tension going on. And there's some great twists involved, and some reveals that go on. Some of them feel a little bit heavy-handed, but you know what? It is a crime drama. What do you want? Overall, though, a lot of the characters are done well. Characters that you might have liked in the first game, most of them return. And some of the new ones that they introduce have a lot going on themselves. So, overall, it's great. I mean, honestly, it ends up being about Majima, because it's always about Majima, and he shows up in so many ways throughout the course of the game, which I guess we should probably talk about, because in addition to the combat, in addition to the storyline and the, you know, the crime drama that you're dealing with, the big thing is all the other activities that you get to do, and there are a lot. There are full gambling dens and games that you are able to play. If you know how to play Mahjong, congratulations. There's a whole Mahjong thing in here, as well as a whole bunch of games that I did not understand but reminded me of other kinds of. There's one in here, I think it's called Shoujo, and it reminded me a little bit of chess, but it definitely did not play quite like chess, so I had no idea what was going on. But those things are involved. I also found out that if you get some special items in the game that, like, improve your luck in certain skills, very much like in the first game, you don't really have to know how to play the game to make a whole lot of money. There is one, and I don't remember the name of it, but you can get these charms that you might come across throughout the course of the game, pick them up on the street, that are the 10-10-1 charms. And if you just use that before a game, you get, like, so many tags. Just so many tags immediately that you can just use to buy plates that are worth a lot of yen. You could just get a million yen by just using one of those pretty easy. More than that, actually. So it's fun trying to figure out some of this stuff. It's also interesting to be able to explore the landscape, because there's actually more of it in this one. You have the Kamurocho area that we are familiar with from the first game. But then it also opens up this whole other area that's very neat and actually looks a lot with the canals and everything a little bit like Venice. And that is a super fun area because there's a whole bunch of personality that it has. These big wide streets with these bike racks in the middle, perfectly convenient so that I can pick them up and chuck them at enemies. It's a very neat area that you keep wanting to go back to, even when the storyline tells you that they want you to go back to Kamurocho. But, okay, what about the minigames? Everybody wants to know about the minigames. Okay, so I got some bad news. First one, pocket racing, not in this one. Not at all. Sorry, it just doesn't exist in this one. That's unfortunate. There are, however, some neat other things that they give you in its place, and a lot of them are way more addictive. There is a whole series of bouncer missions that you do, even though there's no real bouncing going on. There's just this series of street brawls that you perform in like an arena style kind of fighting, like a final fight, I guess, kind of a way. There's this thing called toilets, which is after you've had enough to drink, they make you play these little mini games. If you use the urinal, and it's, they made a game out of basically using the bathroom. Fascinating. There's a golfing mini game that is infuriating, so I didn't enjoy that. But let's get to the two big ones, because there really are two big ones that have a lot of story elements involved in them anyway. That ask you to put a lot more time into them. The first one has to do with Mad Dog Majima and Majima Construction, and that's called the Clan Creator. And basically, it has you recruiting a bunch of people all around the city, leveling them up, and defending your property from these hordes of enemies. And it's kind of like a tower defense game, where you have different people that are different specialties and different rarities, and you're able to defend your territory and go through a whole series of missions, and there's a storyline throughout that entire thing, too. And so you're upgrading everything, you're upgrading your equipment so they have more life points, you're figuring out better strategies to protect against different enemies and bosses as time goes on, and trying to figure out new areas as you progress. That's a whole thing in and of itself. Recruiting, finding, and utilizing different crew members to stop just a thousand random dudes from destroying your equipment at your construction company. And that does take a lot of time, because there's so many missions in that. And then the other one is the one that I spent far too much time playing, which it was the Cabaret Club Grand Prix. What happens in that one is, when you're going through one of these new areas, you stumble upon something you can't get out of it. You stumble upon this scene out on the street where the manager for this cabaret club called Foreshine is being, scurried away by another cabaret club. And now they have no new manager here. And you meet this, they say that she's like almost 40, but she looks 19. But you meet her, and she's trying to figure out how to get this club off the ground. And she has a hostess that's going to be one of the best cabaret hostesses of all time. And they need your help. They need your help because they need somebody to manage this place, and you happen to walk in off the street. You look reputable, so why don't you do it? But it's not just managing a cabaret club and hiring hostesses and trying to match them with clients that are going to enjoy having them as company while you're serving them drinks and giving them menus and stuff like that. No, there's also a Grand Prix, and what that basically involves is in a 3-minute time span, you have to see how much money that you can make by learning all the signals and, you know, making sure that your customers leave as satisfied people after they've had their drinks and had a nice conversation with one of the hostesses. And so there's a whole storyline going on with that, and there's somebody who actually commentates on this, apparently, in this world. It makes no sense whatsoever, but it will not stop you from wanting to play that alone for like 10 hours. That's the amazing thing, is that the Clan Creator and the Grand Prix are practically like 10-hour long games in and of themselves, apart from the actual main game or any of the other stuff that you can do. It really is amazing how Kiwami 2 is able to utilize such large mini-games inside of it, very much like Pocket Racing was in the first game, and how Yakuza takes a lot of their time to explain and then give you all of this other stuff that you're supposed to do in the game that is completely separate from the main storyline, and that it actually encourages you to do that, because, like I was saying, those big things I was talking about, you purposefully run across them in the main storyline. You cannot avoid them. Nor can you avoid a lot of the other activities by going around the city and stumbling upon all of the sub-stories, because a lot of those sub-stories even have to do with the activities themselves. So it really wants to lead you to all of this stuff that it has going on. Overall, it's just a very enjoyable experience, and it's the kind of addiction that you just want to keep going back to. You're going to want to do the main storyline, but then you're going to want to hit everything else that's going on in the game, and there is so much, and they keep introducing new stuff all the time. It really is done far better than the first game, and I do have to say that even though I have played a little bit of Yakuza 3, and I do remember playing it through to the end, now that I'm starting the remaster, that it is actually better than 3, because 3 actually feels very stilted, very stunted by comparison to Kiwami 2. Usually this was going to be the time where I would tell you about other games that you might want to play if you didn't want to play Kiwami 2, or other titles that you might want to think about if you've already played that. And honestly, besides other games in the Yakuza series, or ones that I mentioned in the first one, I really can't think of anything, so I'm not going to bother doing that. Again, Sleeping Dogs, if you're looking for the aesthetic, it probably works here just as well. Actually, more so. Sleeping Dogs was a very good game. Underrated, really. I would say just keep on plugging away at the Yakuza series, really. Some of them are not as good as others, I will grant you that, but it's hard to find one that's truly bad. I don't know of one. If anybody does, you can feel free to tell me, but I have not found one yet. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining me on yet another Citania Mine. Yes, we keep doing these. Yes, when I start playing games, it has a tendency to be a thing that I want to do. And on the next episode, I have absolutely no idea what we're going to be talking about. You're already headed out. Okay, fine. Not even gonna do an outro.